the glass and left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
It is Milestone Wednesday for Calgary Flames captain Michael Backlund. Welcome to this hour of Flames Talk with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. It's Steinberg along with you on this Millennium Milestone, October 30th, 2024. Hello, Wes.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm doing very well, friend. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hopefully you're having a great Wednesday. And yes, it is game 1000 on Wednesday night for Michael Backlund of the Calgary Flames. Flames captain will become, and we've gone through these numbers before, but I'll run them down again. He will become the second player in franchise history to play 1,000 games with a flaming C on his chest. He will become the 73rd player to play his first 1,000 NHL games with the same franchise, and he'll become the 82nd player overall, because plenty of guys have gone and come back, the 82nd player overall to hit 1,000 games with the same organization. Nonetheless, the number's 2, the number 73, the number's 82. Wes, that puts Michael Backlund in some pretty neat company. First player since John Carlson of Washington to get to 1,000 games with the same organization, happened earlier this year. And of course, from a Flames standpoint, the first guy since Jerome Iginla to play in 1,000 games with the Flames. Whatever way you want to slice it, it's very, very elite company and pretty special territory, rarefied air that Michael Backlund is breathing at the largest number. It's 83 players in the history of the National Hockey League.
It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, we're talking about, that's four teams worth of guys in the entire history of the National Hockey League. You know, one of the stats that I was looking at the other day as I was doing some research on Michael Backlund's 1,000th is the number of players, period, who have suited up for the Flames in his time with the team, and going back to his debut, that number is 240 something. Like 240 different players have come through Calgary in the time that Michael Backlund has been a fixture with the Flames. And I think, you know, if you want to go one step further, just think about how long it would be before we're potentially talking about this again. I got to think among active players, second highest on the team would be Rasmus Anderson.
Yep.
And
he's closing in on 500.
Yeah, he's at 460, 462, I want to say. And so we're talking about 530 some games. That would be what, 7-8 seasons before any possibility that we could be talking about this again. And I think that's important perspective, because you know, we talk all the time about, oh, geez, you never hear about this or you never see this. And I think, you know, in the sports media business, we can be guilty of hyperbole on that sort of verbiage sometimes. But you're not going to see this again for a really long time here in Calgary. You see it so rarely anywhere in the league. Yeah, you've got, I think, loyalty. It's probably coming back a little bit in the sense that you're seeing teams lock up their stars to really long contracts. I do think after several years where you almost never saw it, you're going to see more guys finishing their careers with the clubs that drafted them. But we were talking yesterday about the example of Steven Stamkos and the sort of chilling, you know, raise the hairs on your arms ceremony or reception he got back in Tampa. Well, that could have been Michael Backlund. Yep. It could have pretty easily been Michael Backlund. And so I just think this is such a neat one to celebrate here in this city, especially.
Well, and I think, you know, I think about all of even how that summer went. So Michael Backlund that summer gets the summer following Daryl Sutter's last year as head coach. So the final day, they missed the playoffs, and on that final day, Michael Backlund's up there on the podium, and he's asked about, you know, what his thoughts are entering the final year of a contract. He said, I don't know. But like, and it was of all of them, from Tyler Toffoli to Noah Hanifin to Elias Lindholm, who probably gave the most non-committal answer on that day. The one that was most surprising was Michael Backlund, because you'd never really heard him talk about anything other than being a member of the Calgary Flames. And then he talked about, like, I want to win a Stanley Cup, and I don't know. I got to think about it. And they're like, that was Michael Backlund who just said that. And I remember that was the one that hit home most for me, because even at the time, Michael Backlund was clearly the most senior guy on the team. And that year he gets nominated for the King Clancy Memorial Trophy. He goes to the draft in Nashville, and the Flames made that a really big deal for him.
Yeah.
I just remember I was in Nashville, and I had seen kind of a preview of the video package that was put together for Michael that they were going to play for him just before he left for the rink for the ceremony. And it was just all the different people that, you know, from Kids Cancer Care to ALS Society of Alberta. He had started at Parachutes for Pets at that time, and the Special Olympics here in Calgary, and all the different people, all the different lives that he's touched. They put together this really touching tribute. I'm like, holy cow, that is going to hit him like a ton of bricks before he goes over. And it did. Apparently it made a massive impact. And it's funny because that's kind of when I was first told that, yeah, you know what? Don't be so sure about Michael Backlund going elsewhere. That was the first time that I kind of got some, that made an impact. This is starting to feel like, you know, long-term Michael being here makes a lot of sense. And then there were rumors at that draft that the Colorado Avalanche were all over Michael. And I give Craig Conroy a lot of credit, because the Avalanche were looking for, what they ended up doing was acquiring Ryan Johansson.
Right.
And what they were looking for is somebody for free-ish. They were looking for somebody that they could, like, hey, give us a sweetener and we'll take that guy off your hands. And obviously that would never have been Michael. Michael's still one of the best two-way centers in the NHL. And credit to Craig Conroy, who was in a cap crunch-ish, had a lot of decisions to make. He's like, no, that's not what we're doing with Michael. Like, this guy might be our captain. We're not doing that. And didn't. They ended up getting a player for free in Ryan Johansson. We all know how swimmingly that went. And Michael didn't get traded at the draft. And then it really started to turn into, yeah, he's going to stay. And obviously, by the time we got to the start of the season, he signs a contract, gets named captain, so on and so forth. But a lot of things had to align for him not to be Steven Stamkos. And when we were talking with him on Tuesday, like, can you imagine that guy? Like, we've had the privilege of covering this guy for his entire career. Like, for me, there's a lot of different reasons that makes it special to see this. I mean, obviously he's such a good person, and they just, a lot of pro athletes aren't wired and built the way Michael is. But I mean, for me, my first year full-time on this beat was 2009, 2010. That was Michael's first full-ish season in the NHL. He got recalled for good in January. And it's always just been very cool to see a guy break in right around the same time you're breaking in. Very different impacts on what happens on the ice. But yeah, I mean, it's been cool to be along for the ride and have the privilege of getting to know him and covering him over this time and seeing him develop into a really nice young kid trying to make his way in the NHL, and then getting into all the arguments on Twitter and on this radio station with callers and other people about how he's a bust or how he's not a bust. And we all know how I fell in on that conversation and the flack that I took and the jokes that are still made about it. But it's because I believe the player was a whole lot better than perhaps some of the surface level things were telling you. And so I guess it's cool to see him develop from that to now he's one of the greatest ambassadors the organization has ever seen. He's a face of a franchise. The work that he does in the Calgary community is truly, like, You don't see that from pro athletes quite to the same level. And it sets a standard for the entire organization and will continue to do so. So those are just kind of some of my reflections before we dive in and hear from some guys. And I know that you started on the beat like very shortly after I did and would kind of be have some similar thoughts on it.
Yeah, I just go back to what a genuine person he is. And, you know, we deal with what I think is a really good locker room here with the Flames. You know, we've been fortunate to establish relationships with the guys who have been here a long time. But, like, you know, I always just use this very simple analogy. Like, if you talk to Michael Backlund over the off season, it's not Michael Backlund carving out 5 minutes for a quick phone interview because you really need something. Michael Backlund wants to know how your summer is going, and he wants to know what you've been up to or where you're going on vacation. Like I think that's the thing that will sort of stick with me about Michael Backlund is just the sort of above and beyond part. And I think we've seen that. You talk about his community involvement. Like, yeah, there's lots of players in the Flames locker room who are doing cool things for charity and for their community. There's nobody else working with four or five different charities at a time. There's nobody else who won't miss some of these events that he simply won't miss. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Michael Backlund started that as a young guy. He talked to us yesterday when we had him on about losing a friend to cancer. And, you know, so that giving back part was important to him. But, you know, once he had a family and, you know, has young kids at home, you wouldn't blame him if some of that stuff fell off. And it's actually picked up, I think. And so, you know, I think that's what is sort of cool about being able to celebrate the player and the person today is, I love the way Matt Stajan put it when we were chatting with him yesterday. You know, it might be quote unquote easy to hit 1,000 games if you're an all-star, if you're the guy who's piling up the points, if you're, you know, on the power play. You know, those guys don't come out of the lineup and those guys maybe don't move around as much. But we're talking about a guy who has become a true franchise legend as a third line player. Mm-hmm. And those guys just don't exist. And I think that's the neat part. It's not just about hitting 1,000 games, but it's an opportunity, I think, for people in this city to sort of celebrate a guy who showed up from 7,000 kilometers away and is now woven into the fabric
with white skates.
Yeah, with white skates and frosted tips. Do you ever have frosted tips?
I did.
Yeah.
Got a picture of it. I'll show you when we're not on. It's something. I didn't pull it off quite like the with the Swedish charm of Michael Backlund.
Yeah, that's fair. I just think what a cool accomplishment and one of those guys who's just really sort of cemented his legacy in this organization. And you don't say that about third line centers very often.
Yeah.
I mean, he might call in later and say second line center.
I'm
not giving him enough credit. But, you know, shutdown centers don't become those guys who are ultimately going to potentially have their jersey in the rafters.
Yep. Text line 916-960. We'd love to get your thoughts on Michael Backlund playing his 1,000th NHL game on Wednesday night. He spoke Wednesday. Of course, as we all, like, I remember when we were talking a couple years ago, Michael Backlund might hit 1,000 games, and I bet he does it in Utah. I remember those conversations vividly. Or maybe not. That might be the most interesting, well, that's the most interesting part, but it's a kind of interesting side note to it that here he is playing his 1,000th game. He's played 999 NHL games and is yet to play a game at the Delta Center in Utah until Wednesday night. But here's Michael. He spoke after morning skate Wednesday in Salt Lake.
I'm just super excited. Like you said, it's been some build-up, some weight. And it's been great winning a lot of games early on the season. It's made this process more fun. So now it's time to win again tonight. So a big game for us. But yeah, I'm super excited.
Well, and I'd imagine for you, you know, when you look at the evening, obviously it'd be more special to get the victory, to play well, get the victory. I'd imagine that's kind of top of mind here too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we have a big stretch ahead of us here with a lot of games coming up in a short period of time. So we got to get on the winning side of things, and that'll make my week a lot easier and happier, you know, if we put some wins together here. So, it starts tonight with a big game.
What do you make of the T-shirts? I've seen everybody walking around the rink here today.
Yeah, I know, it's great. It looked great. I thought they did a really good job with the logo. I had to see it a few weeks ago, and I thought it looked great. So they did a really good job.
New rink, so do you know where everyone's sitting? Have you scoped that out yet? People that are coming into town?
Oh, no. My six buddies are coming, but I'm sure I'll see them. You know, they're wearing Red Flames jerseys, so they'll probably stand out somewhere.
Will you look for them in warm-up maybe? Or?
Yeah, I'll tell them to come down to glass and throw in some pucks maybe, and I'm going to go see them now at the hotel. They just got in from Calgary, so.
We talked a little bit about the significance from a Swedish standpoint too. What does that mean to be one of 19 and then 10 that have played all with one franchise? But I know that side of it means a lot too.
Yeah, I know it's crazy. The names or the players that have done it before me, those 10 players for one team, they're some pretty good players. It's pretty surreal that I'm up there with them. It's a lot to take in, but yeah, I'm proud of the work I put in to be here today, but I'm gonna keep pushing myself to stay in this league for as long as I want to.
And I know last one, you mentioned it can be difficult, but how do you try to stay present, tonight and really kind of throughout the day to enjoy it, but also stay focused at the same time?
Yeah, I know today it's hard leading up to. I feel like today I'm just super excited. The day's here, and I'm just trying to enjoy every minute of it. Risk aspect of it. Done all these things a million times, but it's still super exciting today to come in for morning skate and talk to you guys. But of course I'm going to be 100% focused when the puck drops and focus on winning the game and helping my team win.
So there's Michael Backlund on Wednesday morning in Utah ahead of his 1,000th NHL game. And, of course, lots of other reaction. This was head coach Ryan Huska, who, of course, coached him when he came over to North America initially. And remember, he played his first NHL game and then went and joined the Kelowna Rockets and played with the Rockets for the remainder of a season before then making his transition to full-time in North America. So Husk was the head coach of the Rockets at the time. That team had the likes of Tyler Myers and Jamie Benn on it and Michael Backlund as well. This was Ryan Huska on Wednesday morning as well.
I've been lucky enough to be around him probably for, I don't know, close to 500 games, I would think, at the NHL level. And the one thing that I do love about him, there's two. He's a very emotional, wears his heart on his sleeve type guy. Like, you can see the passion that he has for the game, for his teammates, for this team. And that leads to my next point. Like, there's a lot to be said about loyalty. And I love that about him. He was one guy that had an opportunity potentially to look somewhere else, but the organization means a lot to him, as it became very evident and important to him that he wants to be a real big part of it. And that's one of the characteristics or traits that I do love about him.
Can you sense the significance this morning? Is it any different being around him, this morning or other?
I feel like it's been a week. The lead up to it, he's pretty excited, and rightfully so. That's a huge, huge milestone at the NHL level. And Jamie did a nice little video for him this morning. So it was pretty good, for sure.
Earlier in his career, he battled some injuries, but he's played in every single game for the last four seasons. What do you think's allowed him to do that?
The work ethic side of him, I think he always feels like he's got to, at this point in his career, do more to make sure that he's staying ahead of the people that are coming to try to push him out of the game. He's won our fitness testing, or he's been at the top of our fitness testing over the last number of years. So I just think the work ethic that he puts in, how he takes care of himself away from the game, all of those things are allowing him to be a consistent everyday guy.
That was head coach Ryan Huska on Wednesday morning. And now a few of his teammates. By the way, that Rockets team that he joined, I forgot Tyson Barrie was on that team as well. Barrie, how about that? Like, Western Hockey League, Ben, Barry, Myers, and then you get Backlund, four future NHLers in what?
Luke Schenn wasn't on that team?
No, Luke Schenn was after that.
Okay.
He was slightly after that. Ben, Myers, and now Backlund, all with 1,000 games under their belts from that same team. Tyson Berry's at 8-11.
Pretty darn impressive.
Not bad, hey? I think if you're a junior hockey coach, you'd take players like that on your team all
day. Take four NHL lifers on your junior roster? I think so.
Here's Jonathan Huberdeau with 840 NHL games to his name, so he's still a couple of seasons away from being where Michael Backlund is on this Wednesday at 1,000 games. This is Huberdeau in Utah.
So special, you know, doing it 1,000 games and only in, you know, one team as well, you know, same organization. And he gave so much, to this place, and it's just, quite an achievement to get 1,000 games. So tonight's going to be special for him, and, you know, he's got to take it all in. I think, you know, it happened once, so it's going to be nice. And obviously when he gets back home, he's going to be able to celebrate with all his family and friends.
I mean, we obviously know that in NHL that's a big number and a big accomplishment. But when you look at your time around him, obviously you're not there from the early days, but what struck you and maybe what popped right away about Michael Backlund?
Just the way he handles himself. I mean, you know, he's a true leader, and, you know, his work ethic, you know, night in, night out, you know, in the gym, on the ice, he's always, you know, working the hardest. And, you know, especially when it comes to camp, I mean, he's, you know, fitness test, you know, won this year, and, you know, even at his age, he's able to win, like, the whole group, and, you know, that shows his fitness. He's working really hard in the summer as well, and like I said, I think he's a guy that you want to look up to and follow him, you know, when he's on the ice and, you know, everywhere around the rink as well.
That's Jonathan Huberdeau. Last guy we'll hear from, Mackenzie Weegar, who, in fairness, started a little bit later. But not even halfway to 1,000 games. He's at 478 games going into Wednesday. This was Mackenzie on his captain, Michael Backlund.
I mean, a lot of emotions for him. I haven't been a part of this in a long time. And, you know, this means a lot to him. And obviously, I think to his family, to the city of Calgary, to all the fans, you know, to his teammates, this is a pretty special moment for him. You know, I hope he's taking it all in. I'm sure he is. And a lot of ABBA in the room going on. But, you know, this is, you know, it's going to be fun for him. But, you know, we want to go out there and play our best game for him tonight. And, you know, I think we're going to do just that.
I was just going to say that little extra motivation, because obviously it's big, but it's sweeter when you play well and win, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm sure you've talked to a lot of the guys in the room and whatnot, but just, you know, what he's gone through, you know, Swedish player, 10th, you know, only 10th player to play for one team. Just the loyalty, I think that goes the longest way for me, you know, to spend it all here, to want to come back and, you know, get it here and, you know, do a lot for the city and the community. And, you know, I think he's playing, you know, for his family tonight and, you know, for the fans, I think a lot, the community. But, you know, I think for us, you know, how much we're going to bring for him tonight, you know, is just as much as what he's given back to the city. So a little extra motivation for sure. And it's going
to
be fun.
I know it's been a short time really for you in Calgary, but have you been able to, you know, really figure out what he means to the city? Like, has that really set in about, you know, how much love there is both ways?
Absolutely. Obviously spending the last couple of years with him, I thought there's a few moments, obviously, when he got named captain and seeing him come out in the first game and hearing, you know, all the fans cheering for him at the bonfire. You know, just seeing everybody's reaction to him, you know, becoming the captain of the city, I think that's when it truly set in how much he meant to the city. You know, he means a lot to me. He means a lot to, you know, this team, to his family. You know, he's a caring guy. You know, he wants everybody to be great around him, and he takes care of everybody, and, you know, he's the big dad, and, you know, it's special for him. I'm happy for him.
There's Mackenzie Weegar on Wednesday morning from Salt Lake, where the Flames will take on the Utah Hockey Club for the first time ever, and they'll do it on Michael Backlund's Millennium Night. He'll hit 1,000 games and become just the second player in franchise history to do so. It's neat to hear. And I'm happy for him. I really am. And at the age of 35, still one of the most important players on the team, without
for
question.
Sure. Yeah. I said this yesterday on the program, and I'll just repeat it because I think it's worth repeating. You know, one of the things I appreciate about Michael Backlund when this stuff pops up is you can tell how much it means to him, right? You could tell how much it meant to him to pass Mark Giordano, for example, into second. You could tell how much it meant to him when he became the Flames draft pick who had played the most games in franchise history. Like, we've had a few of these mileage markers along the way. This one, I would argue, being the most significant yet, but it means something to him. And I think that makes it even more meaningful for the rest of us to celebrate, because this isn't lost. This isn't, we talked about the just another game syndrome yesterday. This isn't just another game for Michael Backlund. He didn't fly his six best friends here from Sweden. He didn't have 1,000 jerseys made up for each of them. He didn't do all these personalized things for just another game. This means something to him, and I think that's pretty darn cool.
On the text line, 960-960, Magarsa writes, very cool to see. His journey wasn't easy, as it began with some uncertainty whether he would pan out in the NHL or not. So all hats off to him for his hard work and dedication on and off the ice. I remember meeting him. Super cool, down-to-earth guy. As soon as he saw me with my big old camera, he was more than happy to snap a pic with me and have a chat about the upcoming season. He's a true definition of what a Calgary Flame is. He's put blood, sweat, and tears into this organization and into this community, and I couldn't be more proud of him as a fan and as a Calgarian. Go Flames, go. And I would imagine it probably means just a little bit more to have this happen as captain of the team as well. It's Pat and Wes. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk. We're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Flamestock is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Time now for the Daily Backlund Roundtable, is what we'll call it on this Wednesday. As Michael Backlund hits 1,000 NHL games, this hour is all Michael Backlund, as is the Daily Flames Roundtable for Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport. I do believe that Michael's old vehicle, the S63, came from Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Just a little side note as they bring you this edition and every edition of the Daily Flames Roundtable. Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson, now Derek Wills joins us, the voice of the Flames, to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable. Gents, just an opportunity to little reflection, story time, wherever you want to go with this. Michael Backlund plays his 1,000th NHL game at the Delta Center in Salt Lake City on Wednesday night. Just because we've all been around and covered this gentleman for a long time. Any Michael Backlund personal reflections or stories you want to share going into Wednesday night?
Would you call this the 11th hour?
We could. Very well done.
Yeah, I like
good
that.
Job, good job.
I like that. It, you know what? The first thing that comes to mind for me when I think about Michael Backlund is the person, which is weird, right? Because I did the math earlier. I've called over 700 of his first 1,000 NHL games. I've watched him play a lot of hockey. But when I think about backs, I think about the person first and foremost. He is as good a guy as you will meet inside or outside of the NHL. And that's what really sticks with me. You want to see a guy like Michael Backlund have success. You want to see him have an opportunity to celebrate a milestone like playing 1,000 games in the National Hockey League. It's incredibly hard to play one game in the NHL, let alone 1,000. And you know, remember earlier in his career, guys, he really had to deal with some significant injuries. And I remember in my first few seasons calling Flames games, there seemed to be a lot of maintenance days for Michael Backlund where they were just trying to keep him healthy enough to play. So I think it's pretty incredible that he has not missed a game in the last four seasons. Played 82 games in each of the last three seasons, and he's played in all nine, about to be 10 games to start this season. I just think it speaks volumes about the work that he's put in. I think it speaks pretty loudly about to how he's matured as a person and as a player, and has realized, especially as he's gotten older and to the wrong side of 30, that he's got to put in the work during the offseason and during the season. But, you know, he again finished first in fitness testing during training camp this year, which, you know, is impressive for anybody, certainly a guy his age. But it's the person who I think of first and foremost, but he's a heck of a hockey player as well, and has turned into a guy who has taken other players under his wing, as I'm sure guys like Jerome McGinley did for him back in the day.
You know, as I was thinking about this the last couple of days, guys, the biggest thing that sticks out to me is just how unlikely for a long time or at stretches of time it seemed that we'd be having a conversation like this. Like, I thought about my career covering Michael Backlund and all the different conversations we've had. And, you know, I remember early in his career when it seemed like he couldn't get any traction in the Flames lineup. They didn't think he was playing good enough defense. They didn't think he was putting up enough points to be in a offensive role. He was sort of stuck in the middle there. I remember him getting scratched under Bob Hartley against the Toronto Maple Leafs. I can't remember if the game was here or in Toronto, but I distinctly remember talking to Michael Backlund about being scratched as a, I believe, 24-year-old at that point in his career. And I remember shortly thereafter talking to him about trade rumors and, you know, is this a guy the Vultures had started circling, thinking they could get a pretty good young player at a bargain. Maybe it's not going to work out for him in Calgary. And I look back on all these things and think, man, who would have thought that this guy would be the second player ever to play 1,000 games for the Flames? And yeah, Willsy, all this stuff you mentioned, you know, what a great person, the community impact, all of that, you know, that comes part and parcel with it. But I just think about all the kind of conversations I've had with him over the years, and kudos to him for getting to 1,000, because for a long time, maybe didn't look like he would, period.
Yeah.
It didn't look like he would in Calgary, and that's certainly not a knock on the guy. There's lots of really good players who never play 1,000 NHL games, but that's the part I've been kind of reflecting on, is just the, wow, like I remember asking him about being healthy scratched when it seemed like he was too old to be getting healthy scratched as a first-round pick. I remember talking to him about...
That was when Jay Feaster told him that, hey... You're lucky. You were whistling past the graveyard.
Right. Yeah. I remember talking to him about sitting there one day and he sees his name pop up on the ticker as a you know, trade candidate, and how surprised he was, but also understanding that it was because he wasn't playing that well. I think the fact now that we're talking about a guy who has become so instrumental for so long, it's a neat opportunity to kind of reflect on some of that stuff.
It's been so cool to be a part of it, because I remember vividly having the opportunity. I was not full-time on the beat. I was kind of getting thrown in here and there to do some post-game work at the time. And in 2009, when he made his NHL debut for that one game, just happened to be a night that I was covering. And then that same year, I had the opportunity to cover the Calgary Hitmen in their series. The Hitmen were the best team in the Western League that year, at least in the regular season, if I remember correctly. And they ran into this buzzsaw Kelowna Rockets team with a transcendent... like, Jamie Benn was playing at a ridiculous level at the time with the Rockets, and I believe they beat him in 5 games in the Western League final. I remember that series and Michael Backlund being a part of that series, and then being full time on the beat the following year, which was Michael Backlund's first year in the NHL. It's been super neat to kind of be along for the ride and have nothing to do with the ride, but like be there and get the up close and personal view of it. And I remember, guys, it was either 2009-10 or the following year. I don't remember exactly what year it was, but it was a year that I had started doing some writing on the Flames over at Flames Nation, and they were a fledgling site, and I was fledgling on the beat, and so I was writing for them. And I remember getting into an argument with these people talking about like these weird words and these weird, strange analytic numbers. And I remember I got into an argument with somebody about Damon Lanko And I had called Damon Lanko, like, I was like, I don't know, like, his defensive game is not very good. And people were like, these people who at the time knew these numbers, and they were still very new, were like, what are you talking about? Damon Lanko is one of the best defensive players in the NHL. And it's when I first linked up with Kent Wilson, and Kent kind of gave me a crash course on what are now very basic NHL analytics, but at the time were quite novel and were a new way of seeing the game. And I just remember how finally one day you're like, oh, that's what this stuff means, and that's how you can understand it. And I say that because, A, it gave me a whole new appreciation for how damn good a hockey player Lanko was, and how wrong I was on that. But also, it opened the door to, like, wait a second, yeah, Michael Backlund might only have 10 points in 40 games here, but I mean, look at the way he's driving play. Look at the way, look at who he's being matched up against. Look at how Brent Sutter is utilizing him, so on and so forth. And it really... he was the first player that, for me, I was like, well, hold on a second. Counting numbers and what's actually happening maybe aren't aligning here. And maybe this whole talk about him being a bust just because the goals and points aren't there, maybe we're being a little premature here. I just remember the arguments I'd get into with certain people on the call-in show or on different shows here. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back because I've been wrong more times than I've been right in my entire life. Like, I'm not trying to sit here and say, see, always listen to me. It just, that's part of what goes into my Michael Backlund experience, is that he was such a polarizing guy, Willsie, before you got here. He was such a guy that was, people were either, no, this guy's really good, give him time, or this guy is a bust, get him out of here. And to see that narrative and that discourse happen for two or three seasons, and now to see him hit 1,000 games with the same team that so many people wanted him gone from, is really, really neat, and I think is a very cool accomplishment. And the final thing I will say is that he doesn't give me a hard time for it anymore, but for about 2 years, Bax gave me a hard time because when the Flames played the Heritage Classic against Winnipeg in Regina in 2019, I interviewed Mark Giordano, and I called Mark Giordano the only guy who played in the only other time the Flames were in a Heritage Classic, and they played the Canadiens at McMahon Stadium. And Michael heard, and he was like, what are you doing? Like, how could you forget that I thought you were my guy. Like, how did you forget that I was in the game? And I was mortified, and I couldn't even believe it that I missed that he was in that game too. And for like 2 years, Bax gave me a hard time anytime I asked the interview. He's like, are you going to remember that I played in the Heritage Classic? So that's just a little personal aside I wanted to throw in, is that he's also been involved in not two, but three Heritage Classic games, one at McMahon, one in Regina, and one in Edmonton, which is pretty neat as well.
And I know he gave you a hard time the right way. He wasn't trying to be a jerk. He was, just basically, I think, telling you that your opinion of him matters. And that's who he is as a person. He cares. He cares about his teammates and his coaches and all the people he's worked with within the Flames organization over the last 17 seasons. Yeah, he even cares about us, you know, lowly members of the media. He cares about the fans. He cares about the community. He's just such a great guy. And that's why I think everybody is so happy to see him playing in his 1,000th game, all as a member of the Calgary Flames tonight. And Pat, I do remember a bit of that from early in my time calling Flames games. You know, there were still some fans at that point in time that, you know, thought that Michael Backlund was a wasted first-round pick and that the team should move on from him. So I'm certainly glad that they didn't do that. And I don't think you hear too many people complaining about Michael Backlund. He's formed a great duo with Blake Coleman over the last number of seasons. And whoever they put on the wing with those two guys tends to have success, because you're playing with two veteran players who do the right things both off the ice and on the ice. And, you know, they were co-winners of the Peter Maher Good Guy Award a couple of years ago for good reason. But just so proud to know Michael Backlund as a hockey player, and even more so as a person. Thrilled that he gets to play in game number 1,000 tonight. And as Ryan Huska said this morning, fellas, and I wish I remembered exactly how he worded it, but he said something along the lines of, loyalty matters.
Yeah.
And you think back to last season, and the black cloud that was hanging over the Flames until the NHL's trade deadline. What are they going to do with all of these pending unrestricted free agents? Well, Michael Backlund signed. And I thought at the time, it turns out I was wrong, but I thought he would just be the first domino to fall. And I thought that when other pending UFAs saw him sign, that they would follow suit. Now, it didn't play out that way, but it means a ton to Michael that he's playing in his 1,000th game, all as a member of the Calgary Flames. It's hard to play 1,000 games in this league, and not very many guys have done it with the same team. So huge kudos to Bax, and can't wait for the celebration tonight and again when the team gets home.
I just want to hit on one thing you mentioned, Wilsey, and that's the way that he's impacted his line mates over the years. And if I was an agent for a forward on the Calgary Flames, I'd want him to be on a line with Michael Backlund. He has made so many guys so much money by helping them to seasons that they might not otherwise have had.
The Backlund bump is a real thing.
It really is. And it's not just the chemistry with Blake Coleman, who was certainly established before he became line mates with Michael Backlund. It's not just the chemistry with Michael Frolik, but, you know, this is a guy, and for something that I have posted now on the Post Media site, Matthew Tkachuk told me as much. Like, this is a guy who had a massive impact on me. I was so lucky to play with him early in my career. I mean, think about what playing with Michael Backlund did for Lance Boma, or for Joe Colburn, or for Sam Bennett when he was trying to...
Andrew Mangiapane.
Yeah, like you can go up and down the list, and I think that's going to be a real neat part of Michael Backlund's legacy here in Calgary.
Daily Flames Roundtable, Wilsey, Wes, and yours truly on this Wednesday. What just and don't need to spend as much time on this one, but I'm just curious as to what the different perspectives might be. Any one or two on ice moments stand out for you when it comes to Michael Backlund?
Yeah, I had to rack my brain when you sent over the topics. It took me a little while to come up with a couple, but I did manage to come up with two. So the first one for me would be in game three, I believe, against the Ducks back game in 2015. Yep. So the Flames beat the Canucks in the first round, move on to the second round. They're huge underdogs against the Ducks, lose the first couple of games of the series, and really need to win game three to, you know, make it a series. And I remember Johnny Gaudreau scored the game-tying goal late. I think there was like 20 seconds left in the third period of that game to force overtime. And then Michael Backlund won it fairly early if I remember. But that made it a 2-1 series. And I remember feeling like the Flames had some hope heading to Anaheim. Well, they didn't. The Ducks won the next two games, but it was a fun moment. And then another one for me would be the game-tying goal in the third period in the Flames' 3-1 victory over the Stars back in 2022. And that series was just such a dogfight. Jake Oettinger would look like a brick wall in the Stars' net. And the Flames were having a tough time putting the puck past him, even though I thought they were the better of the two teams in that series. But Michael Backlund scores the overtime winner in game three against the Ducks back in 2015, and then scores, I think, a huge goal to tie the game. And the Flames wound up scoring three unanswered in that victory over the Stars in game five in 2022. So I think those would be my top two, but I might be forgetting about some, fellas.
The playoff goal that you mentioned against the Ducks is the one that sticks out for me, guys. And that series was so lopsided on the ice. The Flames looked like they were in way over their heads in games one and two. They hadn't won a game at Honda Center since Canada had $2 bills. They, like, everything was working against them. I did not think, as a beat writer, there was any chance I would be covering a game five in Anaheim. Like, that had sweep written all over it. And I'll never forget the Backlund goal and what you could tell it meant to the whole group, that they beat a team, not in a series, but even just, you know, getting one game against those guys with what a mismatch that seemed like. And we all remember they were playing with house money at that point. that's the one that's always going to stick out for me.
Mine is a little different because definitely the overtime game, game three against Anaheim 2015, I agree with. Mine's only a little bit different. It corresponds to something that happened in my life at the time, but I will always remember the date of March 12, 2011 for a lot of different reasons. And I won't go into why outside of hockey, but that night was a very surreal night for me personally. And I just remember Michael Backlund scored, maybe still to this date, the nicest goal of his career. He was a very young player at the time still, and against the powerhouse Vancouver Canucks, who were at the time the best team in the NHL and would go on to game seven of the Stanley Cup final later that year. Like, this was the Sedins, Ryan Kessler, Alex Burrows, Kevin Bieksa, Roberto Luongo, President's Trophy winning Vancouver Canucks. And the Flames took a 2-0 lead on him in the first period. And early in that game, Michael Backlund went around three guys, then beat Luongo. And the celebration after the goal, where he like slammed his hands on the glass, it was used on Flames hype up videos for 4 and 5 and 6 years going forward because it was such a cool moment. Like, the goal was beautiful. The reaction from Michael was awesome. And that's the one that that will always stick out to me. It's kind of the quintessential Michael Backlund moment because we all knew what he could do defensively, and we all knew, you know, what he was off the ice even then, but you're like, hey, this guy's still got some sneaky skill. And I know that the role that he's used in and has been used in for the vast majority of his career has not been the skill, high-end offense type role. But when he's been he's been allowed or he's had the opportunity to unleash some of that skill, it's pretty sneaky what he's been able to do. March 12th, 2011, I'd go look at that goal. That would be still one of the top two or three goals Michael's ever scored. So that's the one that sticks out to me. But Willsey, I think he'd probably say it still, biggest goal he's ever scored would be that goal in 2015. And also go look at that picture. Find the picture on the internet and look at Joe Colburn's face. It still to this day terrifies me, the face that Colburn was making after they'd won that game in overtime. But yeah, that one also absolutely sticks out in a big way.
Yeah, speaking of pictures, Sportsnet tweeted out a photo of Backs from his rookie season and him now. And it's pretty crazy to look at those two photos side by side and just see the transformation. He still looks a lot younger than he actually is, but that's because he's taken such great care of himself. But just to reiterate, so proud to know Michael Backlund, to have had an opportunity to call his games. And I can't wait to call game number 1,000 tonight and then 1,001 when the team returns to Calgary. That should be a lot of fun on Friday night as well as fans of the Flames and of Michael Backlund get to celebrate his 1,000th game.
Willsey, I'm not in charge of changing the subject around here, but really quick, tell us your early impressions of Delta Center.
Really interesting because you know how most basketball arenas have very flat seating? Not Delta Center. It's almost like Bell Center or, you know, for me growing up close to Buffalo, the old Memorial Auditorium,
okay.
Very steep seating. As a matter of fact, I was talking to some of their broadcasters today and they said, if you were to build a new arena today, you wouldn't be able to put seats in that are this steep because it doesn't meet health codes or health regulations. So very unusual because there are about 5,000 seats inside of Delta Center that you can only see one net from. So you don't want to be in one of those obstructed seats, but if you've got a seat with an unobstructed view, you got a great view. You're kind of sitting right over top of the ice. And I can tell you that our broadcast location here is probably closer than in any other arena in the leagues. So I know that Mick and I are looking forward to calling this game tonight for a number of reasons, including our great vantage point.
Have a good rest of your day, Willsey. We will talk to you on Thursday.
Okay, guys, thank you.
That is your Daily Flames Roundtable. Derek Wills, Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg along with you. Thanks to Cam and Shan, our producers this hour. And the Daily Flames Roundtable is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, just minutes from the airport.